everybody's here except for Bob Reed. And it is 7 o'clock, Harold.
Yep, we should start. We'll call the meeting to order.
Okay. So, I'm going to do a roll call.
Yes.
So, Matt Lamier?
Here.
Sandy Laurie?
Present.
Ty Laurie?
Right here.
Bob Reed? And Harold Loder?
Here.
Okay. And we also have on the phone call the codes officer, Mike Piccolo, and Shane Nickel, a resident in Richmondville.
Hi there.
Okay. On you, Harold.
We normally pledge to the flag at this particular time. We did for the town board meeting.
We did.
So what's the pleasure of everybody? Do you want to do it, or?
I've got one right in front of me.
All right.
I have one outside my window.
All right, let's say a pledge.
I pledge allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag,
of the United States of America,
and to the Republic, for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Do we have any minutes?
Well, the minutes would be that we need to approve would be from February, because March we had no business, so we canceled that meeting because I was at an educational thing.
Yes, true.
So it would be the February minutes that you guys would have gotten, quite a while ago.
Yeah,
I'll make the motion to approve them.
Okay.
Is there a second to that motion? All those favors signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, and those were the February 11th, I guess, meeting minutes.
I think it was, yeah. We have no public hearing tonight.
No, but thank goodness, because...
Do you have any correspondence right off the top?
I just want to look at the minute book real quick and tell you February... New one. Sorry. Okay, so February was the Covaskill Building Supplies LLC edition. So that was when Wayne came in.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Okay, just so I just wanted y'all to know that, so that...
I got the pictures here in front of me.
And everybody... was there, except Bob was not there for that meeting because he had been excused. He had something else that day. Okay, so that's taken care of. I just wanted you to know what you were approving. Okay.
Okay, sounds good. Mike, is he doing anything there, do you know?
He's not doing anything as I know of. I was down there the other day and walked through and nothing's been done as far as I can see.
That's what I thought. I didn't see any action around there at all. So.
No. He is cleaning up a little bit slowly.
Yeah. Well, it's the mud season. He can't do much. So. Okay, then. You sent out the ones there from the local government services. They got some programs that's pretty good. We probably ought to consider some of those programs, those training programs.
The webinars?
Yeah.
Right, I sent you that email.
Yeah, everybody got it, Jimmy?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. So what do we do with that? Do we do that ourselves, or do you mail it in?
Yeah, you have to. No, okay. You have to get on that and sign up for those webinars.
And then they have, you send another one about that SECA. My Seagull County, that sounds pretty good. And I see it's on a link. Apparently you can pull it up anytime.
Right, it's just a already taped program, which NYMER has quite a few of those for training purposes for people also. But the email that I sent out last week or the beginning of this week, I can't remember, I think it was last week, were all new webinars that, Shane, did that come out of the county?
Yeah, I think those are the ones that came from the Department of State.
Yeah, I think
yeah,
they were.
They sent it to us, and then we forwarded it on.
Yeah, we got that. We also got one from Otsego County with a seeker training.
Right.
We had a secret training scheduled for April 23rd that was going to be in the town of Worcester, but because of the whole COVID thing, we've had to cancel it.
That's probably what it was from, because I see Worcester is labeled there.
So we're going to postpone it. It's going to be, I think, the end of September, so we'll re-advertise it.
Yeah. That sounds good. Okay. Where we want to, you want to go from with Shane now? I have his letter right in front of me here.
Okay.
Shane, you want to give us a little background on to it?
Did you all receive a copy of the proposal that
I
drafted up? Okay.
I can't print it out. I can't figure out why.
It's like a page and a half.
Yeah.
And, just an issue that we've been having at our property. We have lots of people near us that have ATVs and motorcycles and, holiday weekends, we're used to people riding around, no problem. We have a new resident who's just bought their property last fall who's putting in a motocross lap for dirt bikes. It's about 300 feet from our house, about 150 feet from our horse barn, 150 feet from our neighbor's house, who they're, just fixing their place up.
Right.
And so this started April 4th, and it's been quiet, and then it just started again today for about 3 hours. It's noisy. It's, two TVs going on in the house and you can still hear it. So I think it's a concern. It's not something we're looking forward to once windows and things are open. I asked if anybody knew of anybody else in the town that had anything like this. And from what so far I've only heard at one time, maybe over on Brooker Hollow.
Yep.
There was. But other than that,
on Palmer Road up there.
Palmer Road.
Richfield Road also.
Yeah.
They were actually running a racetrack for prizes, entry fees. They charged admission. They were selling food. Once I became aware of it, I went up and it was shut down within 25 minutes.
Was that on Brooker Hollow?
That's the one where, what was his name?
Reitmeyer?
Yeah, right across from Reitmeyer.
It was Hotelling's place.
Hotelling. Yes. But that was an actual racetrack without any racing, without any permits or licensing from New York State, no Board of Health approvals for the food, no DBA, no insurance, and I did close it down in 25 minutes.
Yeah, this is not anything like that.
Yeah.
This is like a weekend person that's creating their own track. And, when I first heard the noise, I went out to our barn, and the way the sound travels, I could hear them talking. And they were talking about bringing equipment in and creating berms and jumps. And so, without any contact to any neighbors saying, hey, I'm going to do this once in a while, nothing, just started doing it. And from what I understand, there's nothing that we could do about this unless we amend the zoning law. So that was my proposal, was to see if this would be something the planning board would want to look at and consider recommending to the town board.
So I think that
on Route 10 along those lines. If we're going to put berms into for the motorcycle, and then they stopped doing it. I don't know what happened.
I don't remember one on Route 10.
Okay.
Was that the one at Sharon Springs? You talking about Harold?
You're talking about Lundberg Turnpike, where my old brother-in-law had a racetrack out there.
They maybe were. I know what we talked about, but nothing happened.
Yeah.
Maybe we just were talking about it, that's all.
Okay. So, okay, Shane?
Yes.
Let me speak for a couple minutes, because whatever law comes into effect, I'm the one that has to enforce it, okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
And this will give the planning board something to think about.
Yeah.
Okay, I've read your proposal very well, and probably about 30 or 40 times. You seem to be relating a race course, professional race course, in the same definition as a personal race course, from the way I read it.
Okay. I think I'll just tell you, there's two different purposes here. There's race course that someone might use in the commercial district versus race course that we might have, like a personal use race course that might be in a residential district.
Okay. Well, first of all, Shane, the use of race course as personal race course and limiting it to 40 acres minimum and 2 hour time. What happens if I've got 10 acres, and I've got to play devil's advocate on this, okay? I understand where you're coming from, but I got to play devil's advocate. I got 10 acres of land, and I got two boys, and they want to ride their dirt bikes. And they're riding around, and as we all know, when you ride around in circles, you wear the grass down. Now, is that a race course, a personal race course?
Yes, under this definition, that would be.
Okay, so you're taking the privilege of a citizen to use his land to ride his dirt bike on. You're taking it away from him.
In laps. Not somebody riding.
That's too much.
Yeah, I mean,
in laps,
I used to race go-karts, okay? And in my back, we had 4 acres of property. And when I'd tune them or whatever, or just go out for fun, I'd ride those things around and around and around and around. I always let my neighbors know. We never did it on Sundays. We kept the dust down. The track was watered, if you want to call it a track. The path was watered. And we were respectful to our neighbors. I see this more of a noise ordinance than I do a racetrack ordinance. I believe not too long ago we had a gentleman come up and wanted to put in a motocross, and we were all set to go with it, the board was, and present it to the town for a public hearing and everything, when we found out that somehow what was commercial property had gotten changed to residential. Now, a race course is governed by New York State. It's governed by sound. It's governed by decibels. It's governed by setbacks. It's governed by screen. Someone who wants to use their property to ride their dirt bike, ATV, snowmobile, or whatever, that gets a little hairy, Shane. I think what you're looking for is a backdoor to a noise ordinance. And I think if you want to bring this back up, you may want to change this to a noise ordinance instead of a racetrack ordinance.
Yeah, I didn't really want to get into that. I thought that caused more problems because the noise ordinance was controversial.
Shane,
so
there's so many people that ride off-road motorcycles and off-road ATVs in this area. It's the concern here is that you're making this rule and then someone's going to use it against other people. Now, I understand that you have your issues with your neighbors, but if they've already done this, they're already grandfathered on this thing as well. So, how's it going to solve the problem you're having is you need to talk to your neighbors about this. But also, I'm totally down with a noise ordinance. But in terms of what your person can do on their property if they're just riding an ATV around or making a jump for themselves, I don't know if that's something we want to get involved with.
I I was very careful to make sure that that did not get impacted. That's why I was saying we're used to people riding ATVs, riding motorcycles. That's very different than somebody riding laps for 2 and 3 hours in a day, around and around 300 feet from your house. I have video of this. This is not, believe me, this is not an ATV driving by every 15 minutes or something.
Did you talk to your neighbor?
From what I've heard from other neighbors, it's not really a good person, from what I understand, to approach. And the fact that they moved here, they're only part-time, and didn't even come around and introduce themselves to anyone and say what they were planning to do gives me a bad feeling about what... We just had a bad neighbor, and so I'm a little nervous about what type of person this might be.
Well, if you get this law passed, I think they're going to be even more angry at you. So I think...
Well, that's okay as long as there was... I think it was okay as long as it was something that was... Like I say, I gave a proposal. It doesn't mean you got to go with that. It was to get the discussion going. We don't want to negatively impact somebody that might ride a motorcycle or ATV. That wasn't the intent at all. It was laps or loops in a repeated manner, and that's what
a lot of people ride laps. I mean, that's the thing people do too. I mean, people ride snowmobiles around in laps too.
I've asked that. I haven't witnessed that from anybody.
I see it. I mean, they ride the field down below in my house all winter long sometimes.
Shane, I'll give you an example. I have this private road down here, Marion Way. In the back, there's a family, and they have a young child, a young boy. He rides his mini bike up and down the road here on Saturdays, Sundays, night after school. But they're respectful. Okay, come 6 o'clock at night, or whatever, they shut it off. He shuts it off during the day for an hour or so, goes back out. But I read here, you want to limit this to no more than 2 hours a day. The thing that really bothers me is you put a size of property on this thing of 40 acres. And if I've got 10 acres and my kid wants to ride his mini bike or his snowmobile or his ATV or motorcycle, you just stop him. You can't do it.
Well, I guess I got to tell you this. This was a starting point.
Yes, I realize.
I'm not proposing this to say it has to be this. It was...
No.
Could there be some regulation so that people aren't doing this 300 feet from your house? You can't
shoot
500 feet from a house, yet you're going to let somebody ride dirt bikes for 3 hours, you know, 300 feet from the house. So don't get married to any acreage requirement or setback requirement. It was put in there as a discussion. Maybe 10 acres is appropriate.
Shane, I know exactly how you feel. I've been there, gone through it, okay? I'm not arguing with you. I'm just playing devil's advocate at this point. Because when this goes to a public hearing, you're going to have everybody coming out of the woodwork. And they're all going to be yelling and screaming. I think if you could sit down maybe with a member or two of the planning board or sit down with the village attorney and come up with a different number. Yeah, and maybe set a time limit on to it for the noise. You know, from Richmondville has no noise limit time. We use New York State, which I believe is 7 o'clock until 9 or 10
Bob
o'clock at night.
Is now in the conference.
Okay. I like I say, Shane, I understand where you're coming from.
It's Bob, I'm sorry.
Gotcha.
I guess it's, you know, I don't want to get into it too much. It's pretty sad that I've been here for 21 years. Pay the taxes that I pay. Somebody comes in here from Albany on the weekend and is going to ride around, you know, with a dirt bike with no muffler on it. I have video of it that I can send to you. 300 feet from the front of my house. And we're basically going to say, well, there's nothing we can do because, you know, private property rights. Sorry, what about my private property rights?
Shane,
I want to go out and sit on my porch.
Shane, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's nothing we can't do about it.
Well, that's all I'm saying. Let's work on something.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
This is not the appropriate handling this.
Shane, I'm willing to sit down and work with you and devote time with you on this. I have no problem doing that.
Because I'm the guy that's enforcing it.
Okay, I mean, so I guess I'm misunderstanding. The way I understand changing the zoning law is to give a proposal to the planning board
right.
and hash
mm-hmm.
out what some of the details might be.
Okay.
So you guys could say, well, Shane, we don't like 40 acres. We want it to be 5 acres.
Mm-hmm.
Or we want it to be 10 acres. Or we want it to be 2. That's what I proposed. I didn't put this down to say this has to be it, and that's the end of the discussion.
Oh,
but
no,
how do we propose something if we don't start someone?
I realize this. And I highly suggest that the planning board members take this home, read it sentence by sentence, put themselves in your place, put themselves in the same place as the property owner, and come up with more suggestions for you.
I've already read
that. That's all I was asking was a consideration of if we cannot shoot 500 feet from somebody's house, then I think running a dirt bike 500, you know, feet is probably appropriate. Maybe there doesn't need to be an acreage requirement.
That would work, yeah.
Maybe there doesn't need to be acreage.
Can I ask a question? This is Matt. Shane, do you really think 500 feet is going to be enough?
I don't know. I guess it's better than 150.
Well, yes, it will be, but we've had this situation on West Richmondville Road, and I live really far away from where this kid rides, and it's really, you know, it could ruin the whole afternoon. I think that a noise ordinance, which you said is going to be very controversial, I think the decibels that somebody suffers are really important. Swenson's, especially Kelly Swenson, she was right next to this. And they did everything to speak with the family, and they weren't interested at all. They were just going to do what they wanted to do.
So let me just interject for a minute here, just so that you know, that the last time we did a public hearing for a noise ordinance, we had somewhere in the neighborhood of 65 people, which is massive, show up to that hearing, all against it. All saying, and it was nothing to do with motorcycle stuff. It was more like people revving their car engines at night, working on garages, and I forget what the motivating factor, but we've tried. In the 27 years I've been here, it's been attempted 3 different times, and the last time was that 65 people showed up, and they don't want to be told what they can do on their property.
This is Bob. I do want to say that I'm sympathetic to the problem. I've been through this with my neighbors before. I don't know if you guys remember.
Yes.
Yeah, we do remember.
And basically, you know, it eventually burned itself out.
Mike shut it down.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I will say for all the years we've been here, we have plenty of people around us that ride ATVs and motorcycles and snowmobiles. It's been going on for a long time. It's just never been to this caliber where somebody's on a half-acre piece of property doing laps.
So,
and I'm not talking 20 minutes out of the day. I'm talking hours.
Uh-huh.
Well, there's two things. There's one, you haven't talked to your neighbor, but the second thing is that I'm fine with the noise ordinance, but I'm the race course part I think is going to be even more unpopular than a noise ordinance discussion. So, and the second part is I think that it's very overreaching. I understand not wanting to hear all that sound, and a noise ordinance would handle that. This is indirectly, because someone can have an ATV that's got mufflers on it, and it's not going to make that much noise, but if they're using a motorcycle without any mufflers on it, it's going to be completely different. Or, I mean, even though they might actually have a muffler, but they're just really loud. Two-stroke motorcycles are extremely loud. So I think a noise ordinance would be the more appropriate way of handling this kind of stuff, and I think more people have issues like that than they have issues with someone riding motorcycles next to their house. So we can address the issue of noise instead of addressing the issue of someone riding an ATV or motorcycle. If it's too loud, that's going to be handled by a noise ordinance.
The problem also with a noise ordinance is it goes by decibels, and it would require someone to be able to, what's the word I'm looking for?
Measure it?
Measure.
Well, no, be able to have the authority. Mike is a part-time CEO in our town. We don't have someone who, you know, is going to be going out, and that's been another issue, that there's no way to enforce it. That's what I'm looking for, enforcement. It's a very
tricky deal. I think the law, I think having the right law is more appropriate than having the wrong law. And we can deal with the enforcement later. The sheriff can enforce it.
Yeah, I will tell you, if we can't work something out with the zone, I'm not taking on a noise ordinance. I think it was just a big fiasco with everybody. It opens up, you know, 25 different issues. We've lived here a long time. We've never had much problem with noise in general. You know, fireworks every once in a while. We've talked to most of the neighbors who do fireworks, and because we have a horse, they're sensitive to that. It just gets tiring. It's been us having to talk to our neighbors time and time again, and we're encountering people who aren't the friendliest people in the world and are coming here with the attitude that they can do what they want. And I guess it's just frustrating that it's like left on a neighbor's shoulder to go over and be the one to say, we have an issue. I can tell you right now, if the people are doing it and spring just started, and they never even came and said anything to us, I don't think they're going to respond well to us saying something now. It's just my impression. But,
Shane, I'll tell you what I'll do. If they're up there this weekend and they're running...
They're here today. They're here today. Okay. They're running them today.
Okay. Well, I can't go out right now, but do me a favor. I work there. If they're running them on Saturday or if they're running them after 5 o'clock, let's see, I've got 1-2 meetings this week. If they're running them on Saturday, okay, give me a call. Or if they run them on Sunday, give me a call. I will go up as a code officer and try to talk to them for you. How's that?
No, I'd appreciate that.
That I'll do. Okay? But here's what I'm suggesting. I want the planning board to look at the noise and nuisance regulations for commercial and other sites in our code, because it does mention them in the other code. It doesn't mention violations onto them per se of how to handle them. But I think if we look at this as a nuisance and write it as a nuisance regulation with setbacks, you know, for sound, you know, setbacks from property lines, set time limits for that. I think if we write it as a nuisance regulation, we'll get there better. You understand what I'm saying, Shane?
I understand the concept. I just think it can be very complex. You got to remember, the other thing that's going through our head is it takes a long time to do an amendment, and your entire summer can be ruined by somebody doing this every weekend.
Yeah.
While you're trying to work on something. It's just, it's unfortunate. Believe me, I'd rather not be doing this. We've lived here for a long time and gotten along with people. It's just a shame.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Harold.
Yeah, Mike, I want to tell McDonald up here.
I want to go back to the right to, I want to go to the right to farm law.
Right.
Okay, you're probably more familiar with that than I am. But is there anything in the right to farm law that a neighboring noise nuisance that is harmful to the animals? And Shane has horses. Right, Shane?
That's another possibility right there. But
is that let me tell you about
McDonald's. Can McDonald lives right next to, well, it's Lapes and all their relatives. And they do what they call mothers. They have Jeeps and... Jeeps, and they dig a hole there, and they fill it with water, and they run into it, and they run, you know, they get stuck into it and everything. Well, they went up to see Carl, and they says, Carl, we know you're sick quite often, and you're old, and all the other good stuff. And he says, you tell us when we can do it. We don't want to bother you. And Carl says, you know what? I kind of enjoy watching you. And that solved the whole thing. But it was two people talking together, but Mike, you're probably going to have to take the bull by the horn and talk to those people, and they have no right to raise.
I have no problem going up and talking to somebody. I wear a body cam, so if I get hurt, you know, just pull the tape up, okay? but I'm not sure, but somewhere in the back gray matter of my mind, when they put the spotlights up, the field lights up here for the soccer football field.
Yeah, they did.
The farmer, Manchester.
Yep.
The lights were actually affecting his cows so that they wouldn't milk properly.
Yep.
And they had to readjust. They had to readjust the lighting under the right to farm law.
They did. I'm not sure whether they've done the right to farm law or they just done it out of their, you know, their goodness of their heart. But I know they changed them, and he was always.
Thank God, goodness.
I'm sorry, not. Yeah, your livestock does have precedence over a lot of things.
Yeah.
We're not a farm. It's just a hobby thing, so I don't.
No,
that's not like our business.
It's still an agricultural act.
Yes, it
activity.
Is.
And that I believe is protected. I have another question, Shane. When they're running these things, well, right now you wouldn't have it, but I'm assuming it will be producing dust, right?
No, what they're doing is it's just fair ground. Nobody's done anything for the property for years, and so they're running it hard to get a track going, and then they're creating the berms, and so there's no dust or anything like that at this point.
At this point, but in the future there will be dust. Okay? With the dust and case law, you or your wife or any family members have any respiratory problems? You got asthma?
No.
Nobody has it. Okay. I've just went through this.
Allergy to dust. You can have allergy to dust. I have that.
Right. And I went through it with Hay and Chichester over in the town of Cobleskill for his topsoil sifting. He was producing dust, and it was actually going about 600 feet over and landing on the windowsills in the house of Mr. Cliff Hay. We got it shut down on that because that was a nuisance.
That's all I'm looking. Like I say, I'm not saying it has to be the way it was drafted. It was just a discussion about could we do something with a definition. You know, if a kid was going around on his dirt bike for about 10 minutes for a while and nobody's complaining about it, I would hope they wouldn't issue a complaint.
Right.
But, you know, somebody doing it for hours with loud dirt bikes is a little different.
Like I say, Shane, I know where you're coming from. And I think the board really needs to sit down, review our laws for nuisance and noise in commercial districts, PDD, Hamlet, because it does have sections on that. They really need to sit down and read the law and see how we can make this work for you.
Yeah, that's all. I'm asking the same thing. Just if people, that's why I asked, if people know of people who are doing this, that's not a problem.
I mean,
let's try to devise something so it doesn't affect those people.
Yeah, there was several years ago, there was a problem up by where Ziggy Obeldoble's place is. New neighbors that came in. It was right up there by where Wayne Collins lives.
Yep.
People were up there riding dirt bikes around and around and around, and Ziggy called me, and I said, I can't do anything about it. But I went and talked to him and, you know, explained things to him like a Dutch uncle. And they calm down. And now they might go out there once or twice a year.
Yeah, that might very well help, Mike, actually.
Okay.
If somebody just talks to them, and believe me, I would like to do that. I've heard some things from other neighbors where I was advised not to do that. So.
Well, I've been shot at. I've been run off the road. I'm not too worried. Okay?
Well, just the people who are fixing up the house across from us, we just dealt with somebody that was a felon. Shooting guns, selling drugs.
Mm-hmm.
We went through this. It's tiring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like you don't want pristine. You expect there to be neighbors and some noise, but I'm talking a dog, a kid, somebody working on the car once in a while. We seem to get the extreme all the time. It's either mortars going off, you know, drug deals and shooting guns 300 feet from your house, now dirt bikes 300 feet from your house.
Tell me about drug deals. It took me 4 years for them to finally arrest the drug dealer behind me. Yeah. 50 cars in and out every damn day picking up heroin.
What's Mike, what's the best email you have?
Contact me at my Cobleskill one, PECCEO.
Okay, I've got that.
At Midtel, okay. And you've got my cell number?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Just call me at the number that's listed for the town of Richmondville. That's with me 24/7.
Okay. I will, I'd appreciate if people do look at what I sent. Again, I'm not, just kind of review it and see, even if we just had setback requirements. Maybe we don't have an acreage requirement. Setback would help.
Yeah.
But I'll send the video of what we've got. And, if people honestly say, hey, Shane, you're just being a pain in the a, this is what you should be able to deal with, let me know that. But I don't think when I can hear it in my house over the TV, that's acceptable.
Well, Shane, even with this, I just want to say that I think the nuisance law and the right to farm law are two things that would be much more expedient for you, because with all of this, having a public hearing when we're sheltering in place and the buildings are locked down is a very difficult thing with a zoning rewrite. So if they could find a way to enforce like a nuisance or work on that, and Mike talking to them, maybe we'll put enough into them to quiet them up while they stretch out that nuisance law.
Yeah, there is a thing for livestock too.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. Didn't want to go the amendment route. Would rather something just be on the book. But kind of feeling like if we don't start it, it's going to take forever.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, I'll work on the livestock end, and we'll see what we can do on that. They're pretty good about that. There's somebody working. I'm not sure if they're working now.
Well, I'm sure they have some email or something to reach them, Harold.
I'm sure there is, yeah. Because I've done it before. And I've got lots of stuff. When we had Bennett's there, I was doing back and forth on that.
Right.
They wanted to fill that building. And so they are responsive. So
Harold, do you use your email?
Yes.
So it's the hjloader1@gmail?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Maggie, I'll send you this too if you can forward it to some of the other planning board members. Like I said, I don't want to take up everybody's time. I'm just, if you review it and see if there's something that could be done or think about it, it certainly would help us out.
Maggie sent this to us already. I have it right here.
Oh, that's
no. Great. I was going to send the video from our porch of what was going on today.
Oh.
Oh. Good.
Shane. Again, my issue is not with the. My thing here is not so much what your neighbor's doing. I don't want them to do that to you. I'm just concerned about making a law that indirectly to deal with this issue that's going to hit a whole bunch of other people with it.
Yeah, that's understandable. I respect that.
Shane, I'll also do is I love to review case law. So what I'll do is I'm going to see what I can find on case law on something like this. And I'll review that, and if I find anything I think is pertinent, I will get it to the planning board so they can, and I'll get you a copy too, and see if we can work in something from another case law.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Again, anything we can do, I'd appreciate it. Like I say, every weekend that comes, we're looking not forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine.
Well, and hopefully, Mike, you'll go up and talk to them in the next roundabout.
I will go up and talk to him, yes.
Thanks. Mike, if you spoke to him, and I'd even come over and talk to him with somebody else around.
Well, if you want to do that, we can both go together, Shane.
That'd be a good idea. Really would.
Okay. We'll take him a plate of cookies.
Okay.
I'm drinking my tea here, so.
Well, you can get off cheap on that one. You can get chocolate chip cookies in a bag that you can make up. They only make 9 in the toaster oven. You won't have to stress yourself out too much, Shane.
Right. No, thanks, everybody. Just thanks for anybody's ideas if we can try to get this better. Like I say, even if they agreed to shorten the amount of time they were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think there's a few avenues there for you guys to look at. So.
Yeah, there is.
You know how something starts and you just see the writing on the wall and it's going to get worse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a bad feeling, let me just tell you that.
Well, we have to realize everybody's under a lot of psychological pressure right now.
Oh, God.
Two times that it's happened, the neighbor hasn't been here. I'm waiting for the neighbor to be here since they just bought this place. It's 150 feet off the back of his porch.
Oh, my God.
And we talked to somebody else who wanted to complain, but they were worried about the repercussions.
Well, that's a valid point. It really is.
Particularly, again, at this time when people are a little stressed out.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, you guys.
All right,
okay,
Shane.
Take care, Shane.
See ya. I'm going to send you this video.
All righty.
Thank you.
Bye.
Have any other business?
Shane.
Has left the conference.
This is a quick note. I realized today that, remember when we were at the joint planning board? Remember that?
Oh,
and,
yeah.
We had these approval forms made. They're the ones we've been signing, you guys have signed. And I realized I haven't been scratching out, you know, it says joint town and village planning board. So that's not really that cool because that's not what we are.
Right.
And so I was committed. There's two huge boxes that we paid for that the village never helped pay for. And so I was committed today, all right, there might be 900 of them here. I'm going to scratch out joint and village of. But in doing so, I realized it doesn't go through all four copies, and I'm not going to do that 4 times, so 36,100 times. I have a email into what do you need to find out how much they charge to make me new things that just say Richmondville Planning Board, because we've been using kind of the wrong form, I think.
Yeah, we have been. I remember.
How many do we use in a year, Maggie?
Not many. So I'm going to see what they'll do for me, like, say, 250, as opposed to 1,000, which is what I think the Times Journal made up at the time. I didn't ask for 1,000. I don't know how we got that many. 2 boxes. I put them in the dumpster today. It's done.
Oh, good.
I kept. They're quadruple. They're 4. There's 4 colors. White.
And do we need that?
Yeah. Well, they're not great copies. That's true. I could just make copies, which is what I end up doing, because the ones that are at the bottom you can hardly read.
Right.
So really we just need 2 copies. And what do you need is been very good. I got some business cards that are really heads and tails above anybody else's, and they were very cheap, like $500 for $25.
I thought they just did trophies.
No.
No, they do a lot of
lots of stuff. They do clothing and all kinds of stuff. They're very, you know, their event. She came in when she delivered my cards and said this is hurting them a lot because the bulk of their business is events where they, you know, are providing, whether it be T-shirts or paraphernalia to give out with the people's names on it, that kind of stuff. Probably paraphernalia was not the right word.
They got to work on their advertising. I didn't even know.
Well, Well, they do, and they're way cheaper, like, than say race printing. Not you know, I'm just saying, because I'm a person who's always looking for the bottom line cost, and they had a really good product, so very happy with them.
Yeah, we've used race for some of our forms. They've been good.
Mhm. That's good. I'm about
Maggie.
The money, Harold.
Yeah. Maggie.
Yes.
Have you received any emails from PAUSE? That's
PAUSE?
The new government. PAUSE, P-A-U-S-E, I believe.
I don't. I almost feel now that you just said that maybe something came my way.
Okay. It's anonymous complaints. They've been sending them out.
P-A-U-S-E?
Yeah, I believe that's what it is. It's one of Como's regulatory groups, I guess.
No,
where you can send in an anonymous tip about people being too close together, not 6 feet apart, or
Tattletale.
I've got three of them already today that came to me via Colleen Flynn.
Right.
You know, and stores that are, you know, are not quote-unquote essential, but this PAUSE group is not even reading their own regulations, and I'm supposed to go out and enact onto it and speak with the people and issue them appearance tickets? Well, that's kind of hard to do when we don't have any courts open, and it's kind of hard for me to do if nobody's signing the complaint form and I don't witness it.
It's coming to you, Mike?
Yeah, they come to me, yeah. Governor Como enacted executive law number 202.11, I believe, or points. It's 11 or 0.6.
I'd ignore the darn thing.
Oh, I can't. I've got to answer them back. I actually have to go out to investigate.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, for heaven's
yeah.
What are we, Germany, with a tattletale law,
well,
or Soviet Union?
I'll give you an example of one. I received one from Richmondville that I saw this morning, and it was a couple of gentlemen that were building a garden shed, and it was Greg Furlong and his relative on private property, and the complaint said that they were only 3 foot apart. They weren't 6 foot apart.
Oh, my gosh.
I saw that's happening in Albany a lot.
Oh, yeah.
They're trying to shut them down, all these, they're not supposed to be working, non-essential.
Yeah, but this is family members building themselves a shed.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right, if you're sheltered in place with somebody, you're next.
If you live with that person, right? I think, isn't that it?
Yeah. So Harold, don't let any of your boys or work with your boys or your kids doing anything, because I'll probably get noticed.
we can work. The kids and I've been working up in the woods, so I guess I had to watch myself.
Yeah. So,
we're loading firewood. That's hard to accept.
Yeah, that's getting
these are
a
strange days.
Yep. That's right.
I have a coworker who grew up in Albania during communism, and there was a whole this. You had to tattletale on people, and there would be all this. This sounds just like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Sorry. All right. So, do we have any other business going on?
Nothing for me.
That doesn't for me either.
All right.
Well, this worked. It wasn't too bad. We're doing it again.
Well, I put out on the website today our meeting notice, and I said it may be a teleconference, or if this has been lifted, it will be at the town hall. So I put it that way, so I don't have to keep going back out and doing these notices.
Okay. Promise to be on time next time.
I wondered where you were, Bob.
Yeah, I injured my neck.
Oh, dear.
I've been flat out all day long. So
no.
It wasn't until like quarter after seven that I said, uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Well, you joined us anyway.
Hopefully this will pass quickly.
Yes.
Yes, it does.
But anyway.
Use that heating pack.
Yeah, I've been doing that and muscle relaxers, and I've got a rub that I've been putting on it that doesn't seem to help.
Okay, this
be careful with heating pads. You don't give yourself toasted skin syndrome.
Well, you can.
It's real.
Heating packs are dangerous because you can leave them on, but if you have like a long tube sock,
yeah.
You can fill it with rice and then have Lori sew it or glue it or tape it or do whatever you need to do, staple it, and then put that in the microwave for 2 or 3 minutes, and then it wraps around your neck just right and gives you good pain relief and won't lead you to burning yourself.
Ah, I'll give it a shot.
Just regular white rice.
Okay.
You know, uncooked, obviously.
Yeah. I'd be messy the other way.
Sorry, cooked away.
It does work really well.
Don't staple it and put it in the microwave because it's going to arc like crazy.
Oh, that's right. Staple's not a good idea for the microwave, I'm sorry. Yeah. Duct tape, though, does everything.
Or I could tie it in a knot.
That, too. You could be simple like that, Bob. All right, guys.
Okay, a motion to adjourn would be in order.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Okay, Sandy Laurie, who seconded?
I'll second it.
Bob Reed. All right.
Thanks,
have a
everybody.
Good night, guys.
Good night, all.
All right,
bye. All right,
bye-bye. Hi, Laurie.
Has left the conference.
Bob.
Has left the conference.
Sandra Laurie.
Has left the conference.
Errol Order.
Mike Piccolo.
Has left the conference.
Matt Lamia is leaving the conference. Good night.
Night, Matt.
Good night.
Good night.
Everybody off?
Well, I guess everybody's Matt off.
Lamia.
Yeah, Harold, it said you had said goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. Harold is leaving.
Okay. Bye, Harold.
Bye now.
Everybody's
Harold
off?
Loader.
Has left the conference.
Everybody off?